The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
So that's why Georgia, which most of us thought was a kind of conservative state, became one of the most left-wing states in the country, you believe, because of mail-in ballots.
I sat there on election night. So I told the president in I think it was May, I said, Mr. President, I have 12 lawsuits in the most liberal counties. I'm losing in every county because they sued in liberal counties where all the judges are liberal. The Court of Appeals are liberal. I'm going to have to find a way to get to the Supreme Court or the Fifth Circuit before it's too late, before they mail those ballots out, or you won't win Texas. I guarantee you, if Harris County can send out 2.7 million ballots, you won Texas by 600,000, you will not win. And if we have multiple counties doing that, they'll just figure out how many votes they need. We won every single lawsuit, all 12. And I told him, we lose one, you're done. He didn't believe me. And I said, you've got to watch this in other states, because if this is happening in Texas, which it looks like it's a national program, I can only focus on Texas. You better make sure this doesn't happen in other states. And sure enough, Georgia, which had the same margin of victory for Trump 4 years prior, they don't stop it. The governor, the AG, they sign a consent decree, and they have mail-in ballots with no signature verification. They have drop-off boxes, and they allow all these mail-in ballots. And guess what? Now Georgia, that had the same margin of victory for Trump, now suddenly we have an 8 or 9% win for Trump by protecting the ballot box. In Georgia, he loses by what, 14,000? I don't know, but it was a small amount. And I knew when they stopped counting votes on election night, I'm sitting there watching, going, this is what they would have done in Texas.
Tucker Unchained. We love this Tucker, the Tucker that can now talk openly about election fraud, about the stolen election. He's on there, of course, with Ken Paxton, Texas's AG. And we noticed this morning Paxton's got quite a few other interviews now that the Tucker interview has played. So we're keeping our eye on that. We'd love to talk to Ken Paxton ourselves here at the Trumpet Daily. In any event, quite a significant chunk of that interview last night about the election steal and Paxton giving some of the same stats that he did back at that Heritage Foundation speech he gave in March, I believe it was, saying that in 2016, I mean, Georgia was solidly conservative. The victory margin for Donald Trump was as big as it was in Texas. And then in 2020, same margin of victory in Texas because Ken Paxton fought against these movements that wanted to rig the election in Harris County, in Austin, in San Antonio. Same margin of victory for Texas, but yet somehow, overnight, seemingly, Georgia became a left-wing state. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. You can also get to it over at our Rumble channel. Just search for the Trumpet Daily. You can watch it live. And you can also watch it after the fact on either of those websites. At Rumble, of course, you can jump into the conversation, the live chat. Also leave some comments. And don't forget, if you're at Rumble this very moment, make sure that you give us the Rumble thumbs up. The Twitter handle, at Stephen Fleury, if you'd like to follow some of our tweets. That's Stephen with a PH. And of course, if you want to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. So here is Ken Paxton last night with Tucker. I believe he recorded the interview perhaps on Sunday, maybe Monday. And it was just posted last evening. And so here he is describing we'll get to the election fraud in just a second, but he's describing in this interview what he was going up against in this sham of an impeachment that just played out in Texas last week, clip 7.
There were two of the four House investigating lawyers that worked at the Department of Justice in Washington. And that's no random, that's not random. It's not
to, explain that a little bit for those who haven't followed.
So the House Investigating Committee, there's five members. There's three Republicans, two Democrats.
It's Texas House.
Texas House. They are responsible for, they are the ones that investigated me. And they hired, I think it was four lawyers. Two of them came from the Biden DOJ. That's not an accident. They were sent there.
But you had filed 48 suits against the Biden administration.
Yes, and I think that was the motivation. We were causing a lot of trouble for the Biden administration. Even if we didn't win, we slowed them down, and we were winning, I think our number is 77% of our cases. So we are a huge problem for the Biden administration, and that was the way to get me out of the way. And obviously that had an impact on the lawsuits being filed by Texas and other states.
So you think that this, that the effort to remove you from office really came from the Biden administration?
I really do. I think that's where it was instigated. And then there were other groups in Texas that we can talk about that I think were largely participating.
Joe Bama's DOJ unleashed this attack on Ken Paxton. But the thing that's so revealing about this, and we've touched on it already this week, Monday show in particular, if you want to go back and watch that. But what's so revealing about this sham impeachment is that it fully exposes the uniparty infrastructure. Okay, so he was a problem for the Biden administration. And you've got people on that impeachment attack, actually from Biden's DOJ. But the thing of it is, they were joined by Karl Rove and the Bush Republicans. They all wanted Paxton out. They all wanted to remove Ken Paxton, and they nearly did it. They nearly did it. They had a pretty comfortable majority in the Texas House. I mean, they were talking last night, Paxton and Tucker, about how important it is for the communist left to turn Texas blue, because once they do that, I mean, it's lights out. They've got a one-party state. They've got total control. I mean, and here's just one guy. The governor's not doing it. There's one guy fighting for election integrity in 2020. Were it not for Ken Paxton, Donald Trump would have lost Texas as well. If you just mail out 2.7 million ballots all across Harris County, all around Houston, they will manufacture enough. Trump won by 600,000, which is a comfortable victory. But when you're talking about 2.7 million in just one county, well, think about Pennsylvania. I gave you that story yesterday where the governor comes out and says, yeah, we've got automatic voter registration. It just happens automatically if you go to the DMV for anything, basically. This is, I mean, they are setting things up to rig next year's election. All of this really does highlight just how much of a miracle it will be when Donald Trump comes back. Play that clip from Trump. I think it's number 16.
That's my number one thing, much more so than campaigning, actually, is that they don't cheat on the election, because they will try and they'll be successful to an extent, but that we're not going to let them steal this election, because this country is going to fail. I tell you, I don't think the people of this country will allow it to happen either, because this country is on a very thin edge right now.
One more steal, and I mean, it's game over. So as I say, God's going to... Trump has to be ready for war, like this Trumpet magazine brings out. If you aren't a subscriber, make sure that you call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. There's no cost, no obligation. Just give us your mailing information and we'll send you out the Trumpet magazine. Tomorrow's news today. So there's definitely more aware this time around of what these communist Democrats are willing to do to hold on to power. They will manufacture, they will harvest ballots as long as is possible. They'll stop the counting like Tucker and Paxton discussed last night. And Paxton said, you know, it's in one of my clips here, as soon as they stopped the counting in Georgia, I knew what was going on because they were trying to do it in Texas as well. And he had 12 lawsuits. And he was trying to hurry them through the courts at the lower levels because all of these radical judges were so happy to say, no, we've got to have mass mail-in ballots. It wasn't until it finally got up to the Texas Supreme Court where the courts shut it down. The courts said no. And so Donald Trump won Texas by a comfortable margin. listen to what Paxton had to say, even about those who just speak out about ballot fraud, clip 14.
Why wouldn't preventing voter fraud, mail-in ballots, which you bet voter fraud, be your number one priority?
I think for anybody that cares about democracy, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, that should be the number one thing. And for the media to constantly shut down the conversation about this, and for social media companies, technology companies to shut down the conversation tells me there's a reason they don't want us talking about it. It's insane how you get treated for even bringing it up, when in reality, I don't think there's a more important issue, even than immigration, anything, because all those other issues will be affected by whether we have real elections that we can trust.
And you think it comes down to, or the most important issue is mail-in ballots?
For what I know, like, I don't know the machine stuff. I've tried to get people to bring stuff to prove it, and I've never seen proof. So I would,
I haven't either.
If they
open-minded, but
I'm open-minded, but yep. I have never had anybody bring me proof. But I do know 100% that they cheat with mail-in ballots. I know that for a fact, and we have prosecuted people for that.
He knows it for a fact, but to even discuss it, to even bring it up, look at how people like him are treated. It's insane, as he says there. They get censored. They get blotted out, even on big tech. Maybe it's going to be a little different this time around with Elon Musk at Twitter or X. We'll see. We'll see. But if you speak out, chances are you're going to be censored. Now, on the other side, it's completely fine to speak out about election fraud. Listen to Stephanie Ruhle over at MSNBC, clip one.
Here's what I really want to know. You are one of the only Western journalists who have sat face to face with Vladimir Putin. We know that Putin said just a week ago he sees Trump's legal woes here as political persecution. Mm. Putin needs something to change in this war. Donald Trump is running for his freedom and revenge. How closely are these two men aligned with one another? Because for Putin, a Donald Trump win could mean U.S. pulls some of our support for Ukraine. Yeah. Are these men going to be more dependent on one another in the next year than we saw in, say, the last election when we know there was interference?
We know. She's, of course, talking about 2016. We know there was interference. We know that Putin got Trump elected. Right, she could talk about that all day on her show. Nobody's going to bat an eye at that. But if Ken Paxton brings it up at Heritage Foundation, the next month, he's impeached. He's impeached because of Joe Obama's DOJ and Karl Rove's Republican Party. They're all in it together. The Bush Republicans, the Rhino Republicans, just don't even bring it up. Don't even bring up the subject. How idiotic for these Republicans to think that the radical communist left, to think that they're not going to come after them at the end of this game is ridiculous. Of course, they're going to go for the populist movement first. But after that, it's Brian Kemp, it's Karl Rove, it's George P. Bush, it's all of them. But they're not especially big targets at the moment because really, they think the same way with respect to the populist movement, with respect to Trump supporters. That's enemy number one. So there's the talking head going on and on about the election steal in 2016. And they all did it. They did it in the lead up to 2016. They did it all through Donald Trump's presidency. And you bring it up today with respect to 2020, and you're made a prey. You're a target. You could go to jail. They want to put you, they want to impeach you. They want to destroy your life. The fact, like Kim Paxton says, I mean, the fact that they're so sensitive to the subject, it tells you all that you need to know. Listen to him as he talks about how they tried to rig the, and again, he got into some of this at that great speech at the Heritage Foundation back in March, but listen again to him explaining how that they tried to rig the election in Texas, clip 15.
These local administrators were going to send out millions of ballots. I would have guessed $7 or $8 million going out in Texas to everyone, just everybody that's in the county. Well, so if the election administrator is colluding and telling people where those ballots are, they just pick them up, fill them out, sign them, and they mail them back in, you would have no idea. And if you have a program for that, there's no way to know I can't ever prosecute this because I don't know who signed the ballots. I can't prove it wasn't real. It becomes nearly impossible. And that's what I think they were trying to accomplish in Texas. And then when I saw it happen into these other states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, it affected our elections because guess what? We all vote for president. We all have national elections that relate to the Senate and Congress. And that's why I sued. I sued because I said, wait a minute, these states are required by the Constitution to follow their own laws, and they didn't follow their own laws. I can't prove voter fraud. Even they probably can't prove voter fraud because of the way it was done. But I did argue that they didn't follow their own laws, and they are required to. In the Supreme Court, we lost 7-2. I think they should have heard our case. And that's what the state bar said. That was a frivolous lawsuit. And even though two Supreme Court justices agree with you, you should be punished for filing that case. Of course, they're not elected. I am.
So you think that was the third rail? That's what you did that
brought
impeachment on your head?
There's no doubt about that.
There's no doubt about it, he says. They came after me because of what I did responding to the election fraud. Just to summarize, he's saying there, leave aside whatever is printed on these ballots that were sent out by the millions all over the world, all over the country, I should say. Leave that aside. These states like Georgia, they suspended their laws, their rules regarding elections, and basically said, forget the rules, forget what the legislature has decided on how the process works. We're just going to move those aside and let Stacey Abrams and others just kind of control the election and make sure ballots are everywhere and drop boxes are everywhere. He, Ken Paxton, stopped that from happening in Texas before the election. So they couldn't mail out all of those millions and millions of ballots in Harris County and elsewhere. And so Donald Trump, he wins with the same margin of victory as he had in 2016. When you do it lawfully, when you do it according to the laws of the state legislatures, then Trump wins. Trump wins. There was this story about the Biden administration. I'll just read it. It's from Fox News. It says, new images obtained by Fox News Digital shed light on the Biden administration's planned ID for illegal immigrants as officials look for ways to track the volume of migrants being released into the U.S. It says here, Fox News, along with other outlets, reported last year that the ICE's Secure Docket Card program, which Immigration and Customs Enforcement said will modernize various forms of documentation provided to provisionally released non-citizens through a consistent, verifiable, secure card. So let's just hurry on and give these millions of immigrants official identification. You put this together with what the governor in Pennsylvania is out there bragging about. Now, when they go on to get the driver's license, let's say, then they automatically are registered to vote. You see what these people are doing. That you see why the border's wide open. You see why they couldn't care less about what's happening at places like Eagle Pass, where just yesterday alone, Bill Mnuchin said he hasn't seen anything like it since a couple years ago when something like 15,000 Haitians were huddled underneath an overpass there at the border. Now they're just streaming in through Eagle Pass. I mean, that's just one port of entry. They're just opening the gates and tens of thousands are walking through and more are coming. There is no end in sight to this. And now you've got the Joe Obama people quietly saying, hey, let's get them some identification so we can keep track of where, you know, we're just kind of concerned about keeping track. No, they're not. What they're concerned about is getting new voters, illegal voters, new addresses that they can send mail-in ballots out to. And then someone, some Democrat operative, just signing away. And then, like Paxton brings out, you really have no way to verify. And that's what they argue, the communist left. You can't prove it. Well, stop with the mail-in ballots, which every Western country in the world acknowledges is the road to cheating. It leads to cheating in every nation that's tried it. That's why they've just gotten rid of it in places like France, because they know what goes on. They know a little bit, at least a little bit, about human nature. To hear these people who, before 2016, were talking nonstop about how vulnerable the machines are, how vulnerable it is if you mail things out en masse. CBS News says the Biden administration on Wednesday offered nearly 500,000 Venezuelan migrants in the U.S. the ability to live and work in the country legally, approving a long-standing request from cities struggling to house asylum seekers. So they're here, cities are struggling, and now here comes Barack Hussein Obama, the dear leader, saying, hey, give the Venezuelans, give them some legal status. Give them some proper identification. This is a massive step in the direction of more voter fraud, which is exactly what the communists want. You would think that this would be of top concern or primary concern for the likes of Karl Rove. As it is, don't even talk about it. All of Rupert Murdoch's outlets, he steps down today. It's going over to Lachlan. That's going to make it even worse. Over at Fox News, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Post, all the British tabloids. Now it's in Lachlan's hands. We'll see how that goes. But they don't talk about fraud. They don't mean, they're not even Americans, the owners of the Murdoch empire. Not even concerned about it. At least Tucker Unchained can now go there. That's nice to hear. It's nice to see. Listen to this is Ronna McDaniel. Basically acknowledging that, yeah, there's voter fraud, there's shenanigans on election day, but you know what we need to do in response? We'll just vote early. Vote early like the other side does. This is clip 4.
I mean, we won 4 House seats in California in 2020 in a presidential year, ballot harvesting. We won a new one with Duarte in 2022, ballot harvesting. We have to do it. Those were drop boxes at the church. We were doing ballot collection. We're going to do this in all these states. We have to. But we do need to vote earlier, and we need to change the culture in our party. We have people saying, don't vote by mail, don't send your ballot in early. And there's a couple things to that. Like you mentioned earlier, JD said, things happen on election day.
I understand the sentiment among those on the Republican side that say, well, if you can't beat them, join them. We've got to start ballot harvesting ourselves. But where is the fight to uphold the rule of law? To just do what Ken Paxton did in 2020? No, Harris County, you're not going to mail them out. 2.7 million? Do you even have that many on the voter rolls? And let's talk about the voter rolls, by the way. Why won't they show the fight that Ken Paxton did? Well, because if you do, I mean, that woman is the head of the Republican Party. Mitt Romney's niece, by the way. Nice little factoid there. Mitt Romney, he's stepping down, doesn't have the support. People want a Republican to fight, and only a very, very, very few of them will do it. Ken Paxton won his reelection campaign as AG in Texas. He won against George P. Bush of the George W. Bush or the George Herbert Walker Bush dynasty. Paxton beat him 68-32 in the primary. I mean, that's not just a victory. That's a complete and total smackdown. But the Rhinos, they're not going to take that line down. I mean, they're going to go after Ken Paxton and try to destroy him over countertops. If you can believe it. Countertops. Paxton, he knows what's behind this. He knows that these cases against the Joe Obama administration in Texas, he knows it's been a problem for Biden. He knows that his stance on election fraud has been a problem for Biden and the Rhinos. And so he's a target. He knows this. Listen to him talk to Tucker about when they stopped counting in Georgia on election night. I mean, he knew exactly what was happening. Clip 13.
And all the
what was that about?
What's that?
They stopped counting votes on election night?
Because what they needed to figure out was how many real votes there were so they could figure out how many mail-in ballots to apply to the election. That's what they would have done in Texas, I'm convinced.
So you think that was fraud, right?
I have no doubt, having been through that whole process.
It wasn't just a water leak?
It was definitely planned. I mean, it would have happened in Texas. I promise
you. But can you just stop counting ballots on election night when everyone's watching TV? Oh, I know.
Have you ever seen that before, ever? For 3 hours?
Well, you tell me. You're the one who's in politics.
I've never seen it before in my life. I was like, I knew it when they stopped. And it was, and Trump is leading in all these states. I knew exactly what they were doing. They were, because there's no way to know where those mail-in ballots came. Anybody could have filled them out. Anybody. There's no way to know where those ballots came from.
That's not a dangerous conspiracy theory?
I watched it happen. I was a part of it. So they tell me I'm crazy whenever I talk about it. They tell me that I should shut up. As a matter of fact, they're going after my state bar license right now for going after election fraud in the overall election. So on top of all of this, you know, I've got to deal with
But why wouldn't Karl Rove be upset about that? I mean, he's a defender of democracy,
very
right?
Good question. Why is Karl not worried about that?
Why is Karl not worried about election fraud? This is, there's only a few that see this as perhaps, I mean, right together with the border crisis, that see this as the number one concern heading into next year. As I said earlier, I mean, you can see how that it's only going to be by a miracle from God that Trump comes back into office. Listen again to Paxton as he talks about how we need to fix this problem with mail-in ballots, clip 10.
But that's the core defense of democracy is prosecuting voter fraud.
If we don't fix this, if the Court of Criminal Appeals, who I am concerned was put there by George Soros, because no one knows who they are. They're all Republicans, but we don't. Even Republicans don't know who they are. If I go to a room of Republicans, I say, can you name one person on the Court of Criminal Appeals? I'm lucky if I can get one. And so I think it was a genius move by getting the right people on there. We now have no defense because the local DAs won't do it. And now I'm supposedly not allowed to do it. So I tried to get the legislature to pass a law to reauthorize it. The Senate overwhelmingly passed it. And guess what I was told in the Texas House by Dade Phelan's team? We don't have time for that. We're not going to do it.
We don't have time to prosecute voter fraud?
We don't have time to reauthorize that statute so that I can go back and start prosecuting voter fraud and go change the makeup of the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals. I was told by the speaker, we don't have time for that. It, in my opinion, most important issue we have, because every other issue falls on whether we can elect the right people.
Of course, and whether voters have the power to send their choice into office. I mean, do voters have power is the real
exactly.
question.
Exactly, and if you think about it, if we lose the state, the laws are going to change. All the voter laws are going to change. We're going to be going to California where you can just mail in ballots. And what I know from mail in ballot, having fought this for the last election, winning 12 cases on mail in ballots, that unfortunately other states like Georgia did not fight.
If Texas flips, as he points out there, it's going to be just like California or just like what they're passing in Pennsylvania. And then you've got Joe Obama at the federal level welcoming in all the Venezuelans, all the illegals, saying, hey, let's get him some ID. That's the compassionate thing to do. These people, you know what they're up to. God has really exposed them. America Under Attack has exposed them. If you don't have a copy of this, make sure you call our operators. Call the 800 number. That's for those in America and Canada and the Caribbean. You can also get to it just going to our website, thetrumpet.com. Let me just play you one last clip from Ken Paxton on the problem with mass mail-in ballots, clip 11.
I know that mail-in ballots are completely unreliable. If you just mail them out to everybody, you have no idea who's sending them back. There's no verification. And when they say you can't prove voter fraud, they are right. Because normally what you have to do, if you're going to mail-in ballot, you have to satisfy the laws under certain categories. You're over 65, you're out of state, you're disabled. You sign an affidavit and you send it in with your application that this is my signature. And then when you send your ballot back, they send you a ballot and an envelope. You sign that envelope with your signature, stick the ballot in, and they verify the signature. Not the best, not as good as photo ID that we have for all other voting, but it still is something. But when you change it to mailing it out to everybody, we have no idea. We have no signature verification. We have no idea who's voting. So when they say, you can't prove voter fraud, that's the system that they like, because we can't prove voter fraud if we set up a system that's completely open. And that's what's happening in America.
Set up the system, the voting system, to where it's just completely open. That's what they want. That's what they want. And it's not only that people on the other side won't push back against it. They won't even talk about it. I mean, here's the guy who talks about it. Good for Tucker now, who's talking about it. But Ken Paxton actually pushes back. He actually has a position of power in Texas where he can push back against this attack. You can tell who the most interesting people to interview are just by looking at how vicious the attacks are against them. Look at how they went after Donald Trump. Look at how they went after General Flynn. Look at how they went after Carrie Lake. And now look at how they went after Ken Paxton. When we come back, we've got quite a few other clips. We'll see how the end of this program shakes down. I'll consider it during the promo. But Merrick Garland, of course, had his big hearing yesterday in front of the House committee. We've got a montage or a collection of some back and forth sparring that happened during that hearing and a few other things as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Don't forget about the email address, td@thetrumpet.com. And also, you can follow me on Twitter. Just go to @StephenFleury, @StephenFleury. We'll be right back.
Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
I hold you accountable for the labeling of parents as domestic terrorists standing up for their proper education of their own children. I hold you accountable for the anti-Catholic memo. Imagine sending agents undercover into Roman Catholic churches because they were supposedly domestic terrorists. And I hold you accountable for unleashing a special counsel with a history of botched investigations on our current president's political rival.
When I said how many agents or assets of the government were present on January 5th and January 6th and agitating in the crowd to go into the Capitol, and how many went into the Capitol, can you answer that now?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Oh, last time, you don't know how many there were or there were none?
I don't know the answer to either of those questions. If there were any, I don't know how many. I don't know whether there are any.
I think you may have just perjured yourself that you don't know that there were any. You want to say that again, that you don't know that there were any?
I have no personal knowledge of this matter. I think what I said last time...
You've had 2 years to find out, and the day... By the way, that was in reference to Ray Epps, and yesterday you indicted him. Isn't that a wonderful coincidence? On a misdemeanor. Meanwhile, you're sending grandmas to prison. You're putting people away for 20 years for merely filming. Some people weren't even there, yet you've got the guy on video who's saying go into the Capitol. He's directing people to the Capitol before the speech ends. He's at the site of the first breach. You've got all the goods on him, 10 videos, and it's an indictment for a misdemeanor? The American public isn't buying it.
Answer the question about whether or not you know about all the millions of dollars that...
Well, you don't want me to answer about North Korea.
I already know the answer, and so does everyone. They're not the same risk as China. So let's get on to serious questions and serious answers. Do you know about the money that moved through Rob Walker's shell companies, yes or no?
As I have said repeatedly, I have left these matters to Mr. Weiss. I've not intruded. I've not interfered. I've not tried to find out.
Have you had personal contact with anyone at FBI headquarters about the Hunter Biden investigation?
I don't recollect the answer to that question, but
are you aware that a lot of Americans are now afraid of being prosecuted by your department. Are you aware about that? Are you aware of that? I'm just saying, are you aware or not?
I think that constant attacks on the department and saying
it's not attacks. Well, let me give you an example.
I don't know.
Talk about January 6th. A lot of good Americans from my district came here because they are sick and tired of this government not serving them. They came with strollers and the kids, and there was chaotic situation because the proper security wasn't provided. That's a question that was answered. Really, why? Why we debated for 45 minutes on the floor and didn't stop the debate after the people broke in into the Capitol. But these people came, they were throwing the smoke bombs into the crowd with strollers, with kids. People were showed up, you know, FBI agent to people's houses. You had in my district, in my town, FBI phone numbers all over the district. Please call. Call that. People are truly afraid. I just want to make sure if you're not aware that you are. And this is a big problem when people are afraid. You have a nice, you know, playbook. First, let's have a special counsel, and then you don't have to answer any questions here. Then let's extend slow walk investigation on Hillary Clinton, on Hunter. Everything is slow walk. We were very quick on Donald Trump, but you were very slow walk. Then by the time, you know, that investigation and its statute of limitation expired, and all of your agents need to be tested for amnesia. No one recalls anything. Okay, you probably should have as part of your hiring policy. So no one held accountable, which was egregious what happened, you know, in that report. When I read with them, I can't believe it happened in the United States of America.
Mr. Attorney General, you are serious. They are not. You are decent. They are not. You are fair. They are not.
I love CCP spies. They do not. That's Eric Swalwell, Swalwell there. He's the CCP-loving Democrat that's there to provide a little bit of friendly cover for Merrick Garland running up this corrupt DOJ that, as Spartz said there at the end, I think she comes from Ukraine. She knows a little bit about corruption at the very highest levels of government. And she's there saying Americans are afraid of the DOJ. Because the DOJ is coming after the opposition, the political opposition, political persecution. That montage, by the way, we condensed it from something that Steve Bannon put together, or his crew put together for his show yesterday. It's actually a shorter version. At least there's a little bit of tough talk left, but not a lot of action, sadly. Because, as I said at the top, I mean, so many of these Republicans are just Republicans in name only. There's a few exceptions. You saw a few of them there. Not the last one, of course. But most of them, just like Paxton brings out in his interview with Tucker. Tucker asked him, by the way, about the southern border crisis, since Texas is a border state. I mentioned what is just openly flowing through Eagle Pass. And then, of course, they're just spreading out over all the country. Actually, move ahead to the New York governor. This was her comment. This was her comment yesterday regarding all of the people just flooding into her state. That's New York in the Northeast. Clip three.
Places like New York really are at capacity. You know, we have large hearts. You want to be generous and supportive to people who are experiencing humanitarian crisis, but there is a limit to what we can do.
There's a limit to what we can do. I mean, we fancy ourselves as so compassionate. We're a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state. We'll welcome you in, well, 100,000 illegals later. And she's there saying, look, we've reached capacity. We can't receive any more. And Joe Obama says, don't worry. We're going to give them official ID so that they can start working and then hopefully vote. Hopefully they can vote ASAP. So everything's going to work out. Fundamental transformation. Fundamentally transforming the United States of America. Listen to Ken Paxton as he talks about some of the weak Republicans in his own state. Clip 9.
Now that I've been through this and I've seen how guys like John Cornyn have represented the state of Texas and not represented us, I think it's time somebody needs to step up and run against this guy that will do the job and do it the right way and represent us and worry about what's going on at the border.
So sincere question, like who? I don't think if you were to do public opinion polling in Texas, particularly of Republican voters, you would see that Cornyn has the same views that they have. He doesn't at all.
I totally agree.
So who's his constituency?
You know, he's just been fortunate because he has never really had, because of the money from D.C., the support from guys like Mitch McConnell, I think he's been able to stay there. I think those days are over.
He seems like a puppet of the Bush family. That's just an outsider perspective.
He is absolutely
a puppet. Been in there 14 years. Texas has Cornyn, and then they've got Ted Cruz. But Cornyn's just a garden variety rhino, for sure. Weak. He's talking, I saw a tweet this morning where he's out talking about the need for more funding for Ukraine. And meanwhile, his own state is going through a wide open border catastrophe. It's happening right in the cities of his own state. He won't even fight for a secure border. And the governor, Abbott, he could do a whole lot more, not doing much of anything. Just a few, you see, fighting for our survival, really. How can this be, you know, sustainable? Listen to one more clip from Paxton yesterday, clip 8.
Well, you've had millions of illegal aliens cross your border into Texas.
Every year.
Right. And a lot of them have gone to other parts of the country. I mean, they're kind of destroying New York City right now. But they're completely changing the country and its political balance, too.
Yes.
Republicans in Texas, are they aware of that?
I think it's probably, I mean, the number one issue, other than maybe voter fraud. I think that's probably right up there with that issue. It's affecting, obviously, our border communities are devastated. You have towns that have 36,000 people, and you get more than that, more illegals coming through there than people that live there. So it's definitely...
I don't understand if you're John Cornyn, who's your senator,
yep.
How, and you live in Texas, or at least part-time live in Texas, how can you... not be outraged and upset about that? Why? How can you allow this to happen?
Look, I have no idea why he doesn't seem to address this on a regular basis. Thank God that Ted Cruz has, but John Cornyn has been basically vacant on this issue. He's not taking.
Why?
Look, he's been in Washington too long. He's been there what, for 14 years or so, and I can't think of a single thing he's accomplished for our state or even for the country. Let alone the fact that we have a massive invasion into our state. And he doesn't speak out against it. He doesn't do any. I've never seen him propose legislation that significantly affects it, or at least push hard for it. I haven't seen him in that fight.
No, and in fact, if you were to go through every public statement John Cornyn has made in the last 2 years, and compare the amount of time he spent talking about the invasion of his own state by the rest of the world with the time he spent talking about the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, he's far more concerned about what's happening in Ukraine. So how can a guy like that be your senator?
I think he's never really had competition.
Why don't you run against him?
Hey, look, everything's on the table for me.
Why don't you run against him? Tucker's now a political consultant. It just highlights, though, doesn't it, the sickness in Israel today. And as we've said so many times before, with God just blowing the lid off of all this corruption, It's not because there's hope for America to have some kind of revival, some kind of turnaround, some kind of national repentance. God's doing this to show us the extent of the sickness, the extent of the disease that goes from head to toe. It says in verse 4, this is Isaiah 1, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity." That's what we're seeing. On display, full display, every day. We're just saturated in sin. God says, laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, it says. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. It says in verse 5, this is Isaiah 1, "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. Verse 6 continues, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, it says, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. There's nothing there to bind up these wounds. They're just like gaping sores. Whether you look at the southern border, whether you look at the leadership at the top, you look at the swamp, you look at these states that have just thrown their state laws out the window so that Stacey Abrams can run the election. It's insane. It's happening all around with a few exceptions. The sickness, though, on full display. This doctor, I don't know much about him, Paul Offit. Listen to what he said about how you have a religious obligation to get the booster shot. This is clip two.
A religious exemption to vaccination is a contradiction in terms. I mean, religions teach you to care about your children, care about your family, care about your neighbor, to take responsibility for being a member of society. I think that a choice not to get a vaccine based on religious grounds is an incredibly unreligious thing to do.
Right. So we've got another election coming up, and out come all the crackpots again to scare you into getting the jab, getting the shot. And of course, together with that message, they're going to talk about, just in the coming months, they're going to talk about how essential it is to mail out ballots by the millions. Because COVID, right? COVID. I mean, COVID really has a surge every 4 years. Every 4 years, it's really, really bad. That's going to be routine now. They're going to try to drum up the support for it. They're not going to have as much success this time around. It was kind of a novel idea back in 2020. And it worked. Oh, it worked. You send out 100 million mail-in ballots. And even if Ken Paxton resists against it in Texas, well, they didn't do it in places like Georgia or Pennsylvania or Wisconsin or Michigan or Arizona or Nevada. It's going to take a miracle, isn't it? For God, in his way, at his time, to open the way for Donald Trump to come back into office. God's going to have to perform a mighty miracle indeed for that to happen. I thought this was pretty funny on MSNBC, speaking of Trump and his campaign to come back into office. This is MSNBC saying how important it is for Donald Trump to go to all these debates that he says he's not going to. This is clip five.
What is the former president afraid of? Asks the Wall Street Journal editorial page.
Yeah, it's the right question. And obviously, it does a disservice to voters, Republican voters, to our democracy if he doesn't participate in these debates. He should, period, full stop. And we also should raise the possibility of Trump, were he to be the nominee, not participating in general election debates either. Remember what drama was around it 4 years ago. So none of this is good for the democracy, full stop.
Everything he does destroys democracy in the eyes of these communists. It doesn't matter that Katie Hobbs doesn't debate or that Joe Biden hides out in a basement. That's fine. That's the key, the step to securing democracy. But if Donald Trump says, you know what, I'm leading by 46 points, I think I'll just skip it. I don't need it. I've got the support that I need. Why do we even need a primary? He's winning going away. He's expanding his lead. Even when he doesn't show up to the debates, these people that you just heard, they're trying to pressure him or criticize him into showing up at the debate in the hope that someone like Chris Christie can take him out at the knees. It's funny. Katie Hobbs, she just refused to debate Carrie Lake. She wouldn't do it. Carrie Lake kept saying, come on, let's get out here. Let's get out front. It's a tight race. Let's explain our positions to the people of Arizona. Hobbs wouldn't do it. because her strategy was to steal the election, to rig the machines, to rig the printing of the ballots even, to make sure that the machines that malfunctioned were in Republican districts. And then it was in the bag. Same with Joe Biden. Just put him in the basement. We had never seen anything like that. As far as campaigning for president goes, never in American history have you seen this basement candidate that just wouldn't come out into the open. They had all of the strategies in place to pull off the steal with those ballots. I've got one final story here, or maybe a couple, with respect to the economy. This is from Business Insider. It says U.S. home sales are headed for the biggest slowdown since 2011, according to Fannie Mae. The government-sponsored mortgage finance company forecasted total home sales to slump to just 4.8 million this year, marking the slowest sales environment since 2011. That figure will only improve slightly in 2024. So that's going down. Paul Krugman, he's at the New York Times. He says, it's an inflation update. He says, in the past, I've focused on a measure that excludes lagging shelter and used cars as well as food and energy, just to note that it adds to the evidence that inflation has been largely defeated. Thank you, Paul. It's booming. It's booming. This is the communist left-wing economist at the New York Times, there to tell us more lies. Border secure, economy's booming, inflation's out the window. I mean, there's no problem with inflation. Other stories at least bring out some truth. This is from the New York Post. It says low and middle income earners have been especially hit hard by soaring prices on everything from rent, groceries, and new and used cars, despite the Federal Reserve's attempts to tamp down stubbornly high inflation. I mean, that doesn't stop Paul Krugman from lying. I mean, just get out there, tweet out that everything's fine. I mean, if you stop paying for housing costs, energy costs, and if you stop paying for gas, and if you stop paying for food, you know, if you don't need any of those things, then the inflation rates are just perfect. It says here, this year, credit card delinquencies have hit 3.8%, while 3.6% have defaulted on their car loans, according to credit agency Equifax. It says both figures are the highest in more than 10 years. People are going bankrupt. People aren't surviving in this economic climate. CNN has this headline, Americans aren't rebuilding their savings fast enough. Another one from CNBC. Americans are saving far less than normal in 2023. Some pretty sobering statistics regarding the economy here in the United States. Yet another sector of society where you see curses setting in. Well, if you haven't subscribed to the Trumpet magazine, we'll keep you up to date on all of these kinds of headlines. And we'll give you God's forecast as well, God's take, God's position. Tomorrow's news today, as we so often say. If you don't have a subscription, we offer it without cost or obligation. Just call the operators. They are standing by. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. The email address, td@thetrumpet.com. The website, thetrumpet.com. And of course, the Rumble channel for this show, just search for The Trumpet Daily at Rumble. My Twitter handle, @StephenFleury, Stephen with the PH. You are listening or viewing. You're viewing Stephen Fleury and The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.